I see we are continuing along the trajectory set by Tom Walz, and I think Clint has a lot to live up to. Not to put any pressure on you, Clint, but so he's going to talk about these spotted on and typhoon.
I don't know. I'm not sure I can live up. I mean, these were just great talks. But what I really want to do is give us an introduction to what we're doing, sort of what we think is next generation technology, perhaps, for making grids. As the workshop is really put on by NRAM, and we're lucky that we're supported by NIH under something called the P41 program, which is a biomedical technology resource grant. And really, that supports development of technology that's driven by the biology. A lot of grants are hypothesis-driven, but this is one of the few programs at NIH that really allows us to develop technology. So our stated mission, then, is really to develop technology for automating and streamlining cryo-EM for structural biology. Let me get the right laser pointer here. So we really focus on a number of areas: specimen preparation, image acquisition, and data processing. And we really try to improve accessibility, increase throughput. We've been doing this over years through our automation, and really looking at structures that are maybe high resolution or small or asymmetric or very heterogeneous, using hundreds of thousands of particles. And where possibly where you need many different maps. Over the years, there's a little click. Let's see if that works any better. Over the years, we've determined a number of maps, and we're continuing to do this sort of thing using our technology. So we focus in really three areas, going from the sample specimen preparation, which I'll talk about, spotted on and typhon, to Legendon, which we really started, I think, really back in the late 90s, where we're doing this automated data collection. At that time, people thought we were crazy, right? You have to be at the microscope, you have to acquire the film, and you couldn't use CCD cameras. So I think that really drove a lot of things that we're doing now. And then this is coupled with our Appian pipeline for doing the processing. So for well-ordered structures, we can really go from specimen to a high-resolution map really within a few days. So I want to focus on the specimen preparation, which really hasn't changed in over 30 years. I think the first paper by Alistair McDowell and Jacques Dubuchet was in 1981, where they showed that they could vitrify water. And we're really using the same techniques now, where we have your specimen, and we're trying to get down to a thin film by plunging into a good cryogen. And I think we've seen, you use a Vitrobot, whatever, to do this sort of thing. And I think we've seen, by the time you blot, it's pretty crude. You're putting filter paper to this thing. You're throwing away most of your specimen, and what's left on the grid is maybe less than 1%, and most of it is your thick ice or whatever, and there aren't very good potential targets. It seems like the technology has changed, nanotechnology, all these other sorts of things, but we're still doing the same sort of things we did 30 years ago. Maybe improved substrates and all of this, but and it works. It's amazing. Tom showed us all these reasons why it shouldn't work this morning, but sure enough, we're able to get these wonderful structures. So what we're looking at is really doing a new approach to specimen preparation, where we're using picoliter dispensing with piezo dispense, where we can use really picoliters of grid, picoliters of sample, where we go from 3 microliters of sample on a grid to maybe 30 picoliters. And going from maybe one sample on a grid to maybe the idea of putting multiple samples on a grid. And maybe trying to go from maybe 10% usable area to 100% of the usable area. So we've put all this together over the past couple of years into something we called Spotadon. And so this is, a turbo version of really plunge freezing, where we're using high-speed precision linear motors plunging into liquid ethane. We have inkjet heads that are dispensing the protein. We have cameras trying to watch everything. It's all in a humidity chamber. And the idea is, can we better understand maybe how to vitrify specimens and how we can do this? So this is a little idea of how we're doing the dispense. This is a 32 picoliter drop. And you can see these being dispensed through the movies that we're doing, and this is accumulating 1,000 drops over time. The tolerances that we're using are very, very small. You know, this is the tip, which is about 20 microns in diameter of the dispense head, and we're trying to place this within half a millimeter of the grid without crashing everything at the same time. So this is the current version of Spotted On, and I'll show you it in action here. There are some sound effects. I don't know how they'll work. But so what we're doing, we pick up the sample. We go to a wash station, which is a bottle cap right now. It washes. This is gets the excess sample off the grid. We go to the camera just to make sure the tip is still there and there's nothing hanging. I forget what we're doing here. We then go over to the grid. We make sure we're centered. This is a back camera. The grid is here. The tweezers will come down, and then you're looking from the back. The tweezers go in place. There's the grid. We dispense. Then we plunge. There's an aperture that opens at the bottom of the humidity chamber. This is as you're plunging. It comes down into the liquid ethane, and that's it. It all seems very complicated. But what we're hoping is that by using this control using these cameras, maybe we can get more precision out of what's going on, or at least understand what's going on with these different effects. We've shown that, you know, one question may be, well, if you dispense through these piezo heads, you know, are the particles going to be destroyed? And we've shown we can dispense long tubular things like microtubules or TMV or even lipid nanotubes, and they don't seem to fall apart. For some things, we've even tested activity that doesn't seem to really lose activity. I mean, there's still a long way to go, but at least basically it seems like it's working. So the instrument is pretty much there, and the idea, we can't blot anymore, right? We're not putting blotting filter paper up there, so what kind of substrates could we possibly use where, you know, we don't have these contact angles where Larry was showing we're 65 degrees or something like that. If you don't blot that, you will the ice will be much too thick. So we're exploring these basically, they're silicon substrates with a floor of either silicon nitride or silicon dioxide, and then getting these to automatically spread themselves. And we're working in the space of exploring different techniques where we can go from sort of hydrophobic to hydrophilic using different combinations of plasma cleaning and everything like that. So again, you dispense the drop, it doesn't go anywhere. I think on these, if you dispense the drop, you'll see it spreads out. So, I mean, we've shown that we can get nice ice. This window is about 250 microns across, pretty clear ice across this using this technique. And, you know, you can see the particles are pretty well distributed. Now, this doesn't happen all the time. We're still trying to learn how this works and what to do this. And this is a pretty easy particle to do. We're also exploring different windows. The idea that you have maybe long windows that are 100 by 350 micron windows, you can see the dispensing of the drop. You also see these fringes. With these cameras now, the optical fringes, you can get some idea of what the thickness of the ice is. And basically, I think when you're down to one or two fringes, you're about maybe what you want to be in terms of a couple hundred nanometers thick. So we've shown we can do TMV in these longer windows. The system is fairly robust now. It needs a lot to go in terms of user friendliness. We're refining this for the next version of 1.0, which we hope to see in the next quarter. And we've shown it's capable of producing thin ice with well-preserved specimens. We still have a long way to go in trying to understand what these substrates are doing and how to control weldability. So I wouldn't say everyone should go out and buy a Spotted On right now or anything like that, because there isn't such a thing. And there's still a lot to learn. It's still very much early days. All right, so that's Spotted On. Spotted On is doing the traditional cryo-TEM. So a different application, though, is really screening. We've talked about this where you want to look at fractions from SEC. And right now, doing TEM for screening is so expensive, right? I mean, you can look at maybe tens of grids a day, 20 grids a day, something like that, and you can't do it very continuously. But what happens if you really want to look at explore a lot of conditions, like the crystallographers. We're seeing, right, buffers count. All these other things count now. Maybe we need to start exploring a lot of different conditions. For for not only specimen preparation, but maybe just even doing sort of combinatorial experiments. So the concept for Typhon really is to take a 96 well plate, put all 96 samples onto a grid, register it so you know where you are, insert it into the TEM, automatically take 10 to 20 pictures of each grid, either get the images back or then automatically do image analysis. So maybe you don't even have to look at the images. You get some numbers back, maybe size distribution, that kind of thing for every sample in the grid. So, I mean, that's the concept. That's where we'd like to go to. We've shown this is a grid, the grid, the idea that if we can target individuals' grid squares and do things like spell out NRAM in fluorescent dye, and then even do things to make sure there's no crosstalk between the grid squares, spot every other sample here, and then look for, look at each of these grid squares, and we're seeing not a lot of crosstalk between these sorts of things. So it seems like it's feasible. It seems like it's possible to put 100 samples onto a grid. So we're using a commercial liquid handling device that dispenses about 100 picoliter drops. It's from a company called Cyanon. Again, it's in a humidity chamber. You can hold a 96 well plate, and it uses this piezo dispense. Here it is in action here. We picked up sample. We washed the tip again. There's a lot of washing in this business, it looks like. There's sanitizing of the tip. Actually, the first thing that it did is actually check to make sure that the grids were there. There's two grids here. We check the tip, pick up the sample. Wash the tip. Check to make sure there isn't a drop hanging down. And there's two grids over here. And I'll go and put the same sample on both grids. And then checks to make sure things are there. Goes back to make sure that the sample was dispensed. Does some more washing. And this sort of repeats. So again, our field isn't using these small volume liquid handling devices. And we think there's a lot of potential here in terms of getting these to work. So one of the things we did was we'll take our 96 well plate. This is a video of actually these things going down. This was all the same sample of gold nanorods. And you can see them in the light microscope. You have a nice array of these things that went down onto the substrate. We then tried to do a real experiment with gold nanorods that are different types of gold nanorods, different sizes, shapes, and things like that. And even the shape of the gold nanorod depends on, you can't put the samples down as uniformly, it seems like. But we think we can all register. We can still see the difference of how, we can still know which sample went with which spot on the grid here. And we've been able to do this for these gold nanorods in collaboration with John Nolan's group, where we can get an atlas, find spots, do the sample targeting, and eventually get 10 or 20 pictures at 62,000x. So we did this for all 96 samples. It works. Now the bottleneck is not so much the sample preparation. It's much more trying to do the imaging. This going, it takes 20 hours or something like this to right now to image all of this. And then end up getting decent images. And again, they don't necessarily have to be the highest quality images of these things. You just really want to get an idea. You're doing screening. And the quality is good enough here where we can throw this into analysis software that gives a size and shape of this sort of thing. So the status of Typhon right now, it's anybody can buy these commercially available liquid handling systems. We can place 96 samples on a grid. And really the focus is now on optimizing process and adapting the sample for negative staining proteins. Again, we can't blot, right? So how do we do this without blotting? And we've begin to have some good luck here by doing some treatment of the grid and the carbon ahead of time. And basically the protocol is we're using the sample followed by stain. And then here's a movie of just one spot. So we just targeted one grid square in here, putting the sample down, then putting the stain in. And this is all pretty preliminary. But we're showing that we can get some pretty decent images of things like CPMV. So this is sort of where the status of this project is. So right now, I mean, the people that have been working on this, we've had a number of people, but right now, Angie's been doing a lot of the data collection. Sean has been involved in all aspects of the project. Ivan's really just joined our group and has some great ideas. Jeff Spear's been involved on both the Spotted On and the Typhon side, and John Crum's been working on the Typhon side. So we're really trying to push this technology forward, so we'll see where it goes. Thank you very much.